Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Station and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Hey!
What is up?
USA! USA!
I got a little patriotic today.
USA!
I woke up to a little patriotism running through my blood.
USA!
Oh. The crowds at Whistling Straits
doing that. You'll get nothing
from
me until the second part is over.
I understand.
It's the Ryder Cup.
The crowds today doing the USA chant, I'm here for it, man. Normally, like some of the... we can go a little bit much on the, over the top, like America is the greatest thing in the world. Like that can get any country that does that. It can get a bit much, but I'll tell you what, man, sometimes you just get swolled up with American pride. And I had it this morning when the crowd, the gallery is sitting there chanting USA and you got a little something on the line and
fist pumping out
the
there.
Players are whooping it up. The doucher is doing the rodeo with the driver.
It's great.
I'm all for it, man.
Yeah, the Ryder Cup is special.
Yes.
And I keep telling you this, even though most of you don't care. I'm telling you, this is a special, special event. And if you don't get into golf at all, if there's one event that could get you into golf, it'd probably be this.
Yes.
Because it's a team event, and a la the Olympics, it is very much about beating those stinky Euros.
Is this the only time you root for Duchambeau?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, it changes everything. Like, Patrick Reed isn't on the team this year, but the last time...
And he's a ridiculous horse's ass, but he's your horse's ass.
Everyone hates him, but he's great in this. And when he's got that American flag, you know, flying and he's playing for your country, damn it, that's my guy.
Yes!
So this is good. The United States of America, which is us, is up 3-1.
Suck it, Europe. Crotch chop.
They had
Boom.
A very good morning, except for John Rahm was... In Fuego.
Yeah, well, that's the only one that won 3 of 4, but the Rahmer and Sergio took out, Spieth and Thomas.
But
the Spieth chip, the 90-degree chip, and then the...
Yeah, that was amazing.
The fall down the hill or whatever. Holy hell. Like, that's
he almost
like,
fell into the, what is that, Lake Michigan?
Lake something or other?
He almost fell into it.
And quite frankly, I feel like he should have just kept going at that point. Like his
yeah, and dove in.
Yes, the ball. If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up. It's an amazing shot. He is literally sitting on a hill that's what, probably eight feet tall, and it's straight vertical. It's like a 90-degree angle, and his ball is at the bottom of it, and
in the hay, buried
like knee high. You can't even see it. He whacks it out. The ball goes up, and then Spieth is so off balance, he just has to start kind of running and tumbling down the hill. And at that point, yes, you just Happy Gilmore it, shoulder roll into the lake, and finish the job.
And the shot landed like 4 feet from the cup.
It's ridiculous.
It was amazing. They said, oh, it's going backwards.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was a great shot. And
I don't know how you get that ball to go forward. It was obscene. It was as good as anything... Like, you could try to hit that shot 1,000 times.
Amazing shot.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Now, Thomas missed the putt, and they lost the match.
Yeah,
but it was a highlight. This has been great because you mentioned DeChambeau.
The doucher.
So we all can't stand him.
Yeah.
And it is Lake Michigan.
The math and the geography all coming,
Well, they're way up there.
Yeah.
Have you ever been up there? to this part of Wisconsin?
I have not. My parents lived in Madison for a little bit, but I have not been to...
You see, Madison's way south.
Yes, I have not been to this lovely part of the murder mitten in Wisconsin.
Well, DeChambeau, what he's doing is when he pulls his driver... So there's no European fans there. Usually there are some.
Yeah.
But because of the COVID travel and stuff...
This is straight USA,
it's
baby.
All USA, yeah. Bros. And so... DeChambeau is pulling his driver from his bag and waving it around like a lasso.
And it works.
And the fans are going ape bleep over
they
it.
They can't get enough of it.
He hit a 417-yard drive earlier today. 417 yards, dude.
I just love that even though it's a bunch of people, well, not a
it's
bunch.
It's like he's pulling a sword.
Yes, and it works. And the crowd is eating it up. And USA! So was I. USA!
Now, if you want to know what's really happening.
I don't think I've ever cheered for him, by the way, but I was totally on board with the Ted Lasso move.
Well, he's into it. They're all into it.
Yeah.
The best news is that they're up 3-1 in the afternoon matches, too.
Yes.
The best balls. They're up 3-1 right now. Dustin Johnson has played great. Xander Schauffele is becoming like Mr. USA because he's played great both sessions. I didn't understand why they benched
Morikawa.
Well, Morikawa, I think, should be out there. I think he's one of our anchors, but they didn't play him in the afternoon. I know it was all set up ahead of time, but they had Cantlay and Schauffele went 5-up through 5 holes on McIlroy and Poulter.
Yeah.
And he didn't play him in the afternoon. Again, he had it all set out, so it wasn't going to, I mean, it was just.
But maybe but Jesus. You know, ride the hot hand.
Yeah. Do you remember a couple years ago when Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley found magic together somehow and they were just awesome?
Stick
just
with
leave
it.
Those guys. So he put Cantlay with JT and Schauffele with Johnson. But right now, it seems to be working.
Yeah, it's working.
They're up 3-1.
Dustin apparently found a mountain of blow somewhere and is very focused at this point.
He's,
so.
He's back, baby.
Just
yeah,
keep,
he's back.
Keep riding it, right?
So
hey,
good.
When you find something that works for you, whether it's blow or Perkins waitresses or whatever it is, what's the Bull Durham thing? You don't F with the streak, right? If you think that you're playing well because of a certain thing, you respect the streak because they don't happen very often.
Tony Finau is playing great for us, too.
He is my favorite player on the PGA Tour.
He's awesome.
I love me some Tony Finau.
Great dude, too.
Yes.
Great dude.
There was some dude like yesterday that was all, you know, this is the magic of the text line. We just got done saying how great a guy Tony Finau is. And some dude sent some super angry text about how we're un-American and how Tony Finau was a great guy. And we're like, we literally just said that. He's like, oh, my bad.
Yeah. Well, looking good.
Yeah. Bottom line is,
looking good out there.
USA.
USA. USA.
Yes.
Now, it's the Ryder Cup. The Euros have some magic. There's a long way to go.
Yes.
Let's not get cocky.
No.
But early returns are, these guys are into it. Mm-hmm. And I think that the young U.S. Ryder, this is like the youngest Ryder Cup team we've had.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of turnover. So now you got guys like Morikawa out there, Scheffler, who else really young, like, you know, all those bros. And it's just... it just has a different feel to it. Like, I feel like we're in good hands now.
Fingers
on
crossed.
The U.S. team.
Now that you've said that, realize that you've doomed Team USA to a weekend of misery.
Well, they just look good. You know, they look, it just looks different than the old, I hated the old Furyk.
Yeah.
Freaking Phil five Mickelson.
The 5-hour energy boys.
Those guys were flatline. They were awful.
Yeah.
In the Ryder Cup.
They're showing that speed shot again, and it's just, it's the most ridiculous thing you will see. And it just would have been so good had he gone into the lake. But honestly, that is the most amazing shot I can remember. It went straight vertical and found a way to move forward and ended up a couple feet from the cup. Love it.
All right. Well.
And someone's saying, hey, I know this is a very first segment sports feel to it, but what do you want? We're swelled up with American pride.
I'm old. I am dying.
I'm sorry.
This isn't sports. This is USA! USA!
Exactly.
USA! Yeah, this is country.
Somehow,
this is politics.
Somehow we're showing Europe. This is like when Rocky single-handedly ended the Cold War.
That's right.
I don't know what it all means, but it means apparently that we're better than Europe. So suck it, Europe.
All right.
Does everyone still hate Ian Poulter?
Yes.
Okay, of
course. Great.
Yes, absolutely.
I love how some of that stuff just doesn't
work. I hate Poulter, but I can say that I no longer, and I haven't for a while, I no longer hate Serge.
Sergio, he's a stud in this.
I hated him before, but the last handful of years, I no longer hate him. I still hate Poulter.
Do you think the Europeans blindly follow all the Europeans? Or do you think they look at some of the guys and they're like, oh, I don't like Rory because I'm Spanish?
Well, yeah.
Oh, no, they want to beat the... No, I think they want to beat the
they
U.S.
They just want to beat USA so that they'll root for...
This is an important event.
They'll root for Duchambeau if it beats the U.S. sort of thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's... Yeah. I mean, most of their guys... Like, Poulter's one of those guys that we hate him, but I'm sure they love him over there.
Right? And he's a Brit.
He's English, yeah. Yeah. Who else is... Like... Well, Ron, Rom's
a
Spaniard,
and Rory's Northern Ireland, and you know it is.
There may be some rivalries in there, but I don't think so.
I lived over there for like 8 months, and I will tell you that the Scots hate the English. I mean, just it's in their national anthem. They curse
for like thousands of years.
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. Like it's you know it's a little testy there. They literally yell at the King of England in their national anthem. They call him a bastard. It's fantastic. It's the only national anthem that they swear. Like in their national anthem, they talk about King Edward and then they all yell in unison, "You bastard!" It's wonderful. Cursing in a national anthem. But when the Scots played the Germans in a soccer match, all the English hooligans came up and they put aside their differences because they hated the Germans more. So there, you can put aside rivalries if you hate someone else more. So I'm assuming in this that they put aside all the pettiness and then they hate the Americans, just like when the English hooligans came up and then we all fought the Germans. Because at that point, everyone was in unison and we kicked the crap out of the Germans and then we all had beers and it was great. And then at the end of that, then they went back to hating each other. So it's, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, that sort of thing.
Somebody texts us, and this is true, that Ian Poulter had a video or like a reality series or something that was out there, and I saw it. I hate to tell you this.
Don't do it.
He's a good dude.
Don't. No.
He is.
No.
He's a good dude.
No.
He's a good family man.
No, I'm not buying it.
So
he's a douche.
But for this, yeah, we hate him.
Yeah.
I love Rory as a player. He's one of my favorite players on tour. For this,
yeah.
Suck it, Roy.
I don't like it.
And by the way, he may lose two matches on the same day for the first time ever in this event.
Why don't you cry about it, Rory? Huh?
That's right.
Why don't you have a meltdown?
You little bitch. Dominating you. We better not get too cocky here.
I know. I was going to say, we're dooming it to a weekend failure.
But we're American, though,
yes,
so we have to get cocky.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
We bro up a little bit, and I promise you, after today, whether it's Rom or Sergio or someone will bitch about the crowd. They'll say that they'll say it's undignified and that, you know, I guarantee it.
Sergio already gave him a little, how's your father?
Yeah, mark my words. The Europeans will bitch and moan about the ugliness and just how we're uncivilized. Guaranteed.
Hmm.
And
well,
you know what? They're probably right, but whatever.
Yeah, well, they're right, but USA,
exactly.
We win. Suck it.
Be better.
Yeah, shut them up with your putter.
Exactly.
You're not doing that. Look at that. Finau just blitzed them. Finau and Harris English out there. Did you see big fat Shane Lowry fall down the hill earlier?
I did not.
He fell.
Did he take a tumble?
He took a tumble.
Look, the heavier
I rooted for it.
The heavier you are in the fall, and being a bigger guy, look, I can say this without any sort of bias. The bigger you are falling down, the funnier it is. What is that? The hangover? It's funny because he's fat. If you get Jordan Spieth who falls down, it's funny. Don't get me wrong. But you get a big fat guy, if you get Shane that goes tumbling down that hill, four times as funny. Like if Patrick Harris falls down and I fall down, which one's funnier? Me.
I'm laughing at you.
Yeah, guaranteed. It's just the way it works.
Do you remember the Poulter fart?
I do remember that.
I have that. Would you like it?
Yes.
That's him on the first tee.
Yes.
Golf tournament.
And it was scandalous.
Come on, man. Let's get behind that guy. But not this weekend. Not so fast.
Yeah.
I was just talking with AJ about that, about people tripping and it's funny.
Yeah. Was she?
Because it is.
She seems like the sort of person that does not find it funny when people fall.
Well, I came in a segment early, as I usually do, and I put my stuff in here, you know?
Yeah.
And when they're on break, and I scared her. So she jumped
because
I kind of kicked the door.
Sure.
And I laughed about that because I think that's kind of funny when people get startled.
Absolutely.
And she didn't like that too much. And then I said, well, it's not quite as funny as when people trip and fall.
She didn't like that either, huh?
No. No. Not at all. I'm like, as long as they're okay, it's funny.
She's a very...
Because it's never graceful.
She's a very serious person, and I don't think would appreciate the humor behind it. But no matter who falls, your first instinct is to laugh, and then you have to go check and make sure they're okay.
Especially you see somebody that like trips over a sidewalk that's like uneven. You get that, and then you fall. Yeah. Oh, you instantly laugh.
Or even if they pull off a save.
Yeah.
It still is funny.
The save goes, nice save, dude.
Whoa.
But you check and make sure they're okay. And once you find out they're not seriously hurt, then you go back to laughing. That's just the way it works.
Yeah. And if you saw it on video and it was you tripping, you'd laugh too.
I've done that before where we were in Bend a couple years ago and I just ate it on some ice cross, like in a crosswalk. Mm. And it was bad, man. Like, I went down hard. And it's one of those where, you know, when you fall, you try to bounce back up and pretend that it didn't hurt. That didn't work. I had to lay on the ground for a little bit. And while I was in a lot of pain, I fully understood that everyone at the crosswalk was laughing and should have. It was funny because it wasn't like it was a graceful fall. It was both feet in the air, like just full on dead bug. I get it. You should laugh. It hurt. And then once I was able to regroup and get up, then I could enjoy it and be like, I bet that was funny.
We should all hold little green and red cards in our pockets.
Yeah, hold them up.
And when we fall, if we're okay, we hold up the green card and then everybody can laugh.
Everyone laughs.
But then if you hold up the red card, everybody runs to your aid.
Yes, I broke a hip.
So that way we know.
Yes, there is a serious injury here. I'm sorry.
All right. Opening salvo on a Friday right
very
there.
Very sportsy.
Yeah, but who cares? USA.
Absolutely.
So we're up 4-1.
I may have to buy a USA Ryder Cup polo. You know, sometimes the gear is a little iffy.
Yeah, I think it's getting better.
That's a little sharp look. I like that.
Although the American gear is always very loud.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I wish they'd tone it down a little.
As understated. Remember the one year they had like the, it was the big American comeback win and they had, it looked like wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
that was the Justin Leonard.
Yeah. Year. The Justin Leonard. Year.
Yeah. He says he still has that shirt.
That's not a good look.
What was I going to tell you? Oh, a couple guys went without hat today. And I thought that was odd.
Well, you know, I'm a non-hat wearer when I golf.
Well, because you're bald.
Yes. And I like to get a little sun up there. Otherwise, you end up with the world's worst tan line. So,
but these guys don't care about that. They usually wear hats. Patrick Cantlay, sans hat. Victor Hovland, sans hat.
I like it.
I thought it was odd.
Why do we have to wear a hat?
Well, you don't have to. Weird looking.
But here's the thing. When I don't wear a hat when I golf, I often get asked about it. And I find that bizarre.
Everybody wears hats.
Why? Why isn't
That's
it,
what you do.
Why isn't a necessity?
Protect your face from the sun. Mm-hmm. Protect your head from the sun. Yeah. You know, sun.
I'm just saying. I find that a little, people are often thrown off by the non-hat.
You better have a hat on.
And there's people that I don't understand why that's a big deal, but apparently it is. In golf, you're supposed to wear a hat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And I say nay.
Oh, no, no, no.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, I forgot to announce to the people, but you probably figured out that Mike is not here today.
Yes.
It is the great Patrick Harris.
Mm-hmm. Hello, my friends.
Hello, Patrick.
It's been a while since I've been with you. It's nice to be back.
Always good to have you.
Doubleheader for you. You had to do the AJ and Dusty show.
Doubleheader for me. Yes, I've been doing that show because Will is out.
Will, by the way, congratulations.
Yes, fan baby.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Will Darkins had a baby. First male ever. Impregnated.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say you guys were not supposed to do that.
Oh.
Really?
That's what I was told.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Ooh.
So there was no baby. So did Mike get on that flight at 3 a.m.?
I believe so.
Otherwise, he'd be here. But I'll get him back on Monday. I have to do Dirt and Sprague in the morning because Swaggy's gone. And he'll do AJ and Dusty and you guys.
Oh. He'll do us
He's
all.
He's doing it all.
And it's just Dusty on Monday.
Okay, so listen, Mike had his flight delayed all the way till 3 in the morning. He's going to a wedding, and he's in the wedding.
Interesting.
Back in New Jersey.
His cousin's wedding, I believe.
Is it?
Or is it his?
No, he said it's his cousin's.
It seems pretty convenient. He's going back. He's taking his lady. There's a wedding. You know, Mike's very cryptic. Look, I don't know whose wedding it is. I just know that Mike and his lady are on a plane heading back for a wedding. That's all I know. And no one had a baby. That much I can tell you.
Mike might be having a baby.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
Do you like flights at 3 in the morning? Because you can sleep? I mean, it's a five-hour flight.
I don't mind it. I'll tell you, like, if we're going on a long trip, like if we're going over into Europe or like back east or whatever, I don't mind the 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock leave and then show up the next day. You can usually catch a couple hours, get there, fart around a little bit, and then get a good night's sleep. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I'll just drink.
By the way, I've been
3
told.
I'll just drink till 3 and then pass out on the plane.
Yeah, I don't like them because I have a hard time sleeping on planes. But I do get the time saver element, especially if you're going, you know, way east.
Sure.
Like Europe.
Yeah.
I have been told by my sources that it is okay. Will Darkins is a father.
Boy, when Patrick said that, I was like, oh, man.
Whoops. Well, nobody listens, so.
I was like,
it doesn't really matter.
No, but you don't want to be that person. Because that can be a very personal thing. And
I saw the email.
I did too.
There was an internal email, and there was a picture of a baby and all this.
I assumed that was like a... That was a joyous occasion. I didn't think he was like John Legend or something, and they're like trying to keep everything like quiet. But I don't know how Will Darkins rolls.
I'm remembering either yesterday or the day before we were told that he wanted to do it on his own accord.
Oh, well, I didn't get that memo. Look,
whatever.
What do you want from me?
Why everybody's got to keep things secret and do things? I don't know, man. Open book. You want to know anything? I'll tell you right now.
We're announcing it. What else is I going to tell you? Oh, one of the Ryder Cup thing. Did you see that Michael Jordan and Ahmad Rashad are out there?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Michael Jordan and Ahmad Rashad have become
they're like besties.
Ryder Cup. They've become like honorary captains. Like they're just kind of with the Ryder Cup team every year.
That's called a groupie. And look, let's be honest.
Can they do that at any sporting event? Like, could Michael Jordan just be like...
Yes.
He owns what? The Charlotte team?
Yes.
Let's say he just is like to Matt Rhule of the Panthers.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, big fan. I'm going to come down on your sidelines and be Michael Jordan and inspire guys.
Yes.
All day. Rhule can't say no to that, right?
No. Jordan can do whatever he wants. He's Michael freaking Jordan. And here's the beauty part of being...
And then Ahmad Rashad just rides his coattails.
Exactly. Now, Ahmad Rashad can't do that, but what Ahmad Rashad can do is suckle at the power teat of Michael Jordan. Therefore, we're like, hey, Jordan and Ahmad Rashad are hanging out and are honorary captains. No.
I love that.
Michael is an honorary captain, and Ahmad Rashad knows how to suck up to Michael Jordan, and that's how that works. Think about, like, it's a Cato thing.
Look, Jordan is the GOAT.
Yes.
Okay, but... Where does that stop? Like, where do you get
to? It doesn't.
Well, but I'm saying, where do you get to down the line of, like, let me think of some. J.J. Redick just retired.
Yeah, he can't do that.
Well, I'm not saying he can do that Ryder Cup, but can he do that on the J.J. Redick level?
Sure. Yeah, it's all levels, man. It's
But how do you know that?
I think you just know because you overreach when it happens.
So do you have that level? Oh, okay. So you try and then you get shut down?
Yes.
And you're like, okay, so that one.
Remember Lil Wayne tried this a number of years ago. It was at a playoff game, I believe, for the Miami Heat. And Lil Wayne called up and was like, hey, I want front row tickets. And I think it was Oklahoma City and Miami. And they told him, no, we don't have that for you. Like, we can put you somewhere else. And Lil Wayne caused a huge issue. And Oklahoma City, I think it was at there. I think it was Oklahoma City, Miami, but it was in Oklahoma City. And they released a press statement saying, dude, this guy called us like 2 hours before, you know, tip off. No, we don't have a place for him. Well, here's the thing. If Michael Jordan calls up 2 hours before tip, or let's say, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who somewhere else that's on that sort of level. Who's like that sort of magnitude? Mick Jagger.
Yeah, yes.
There you go. Mick Jagger. If Mick calls up and says, me and the Stones would like to be front row, guess what? He's front row. Lil Wayne is not, and he was pissed.
So,
but he found out that day where his level is.
So could you call up Bruce Barnum?
Yes.
And say, look.
Yes.
I'm Big Suit. He's the coach at Portland State, by the way.
Yes.
I'm going to be down on the sidelines. I've got some pointers.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, oh, my God, you're Big Sook, local radio funny man. Come on down. Or will he be like, who the hell are you?
No. I could get down for Portland State. Oregon State would tell me no. Oregon would laugh at me and never respond. So, like,
there it is.
There's your levels, right? I mean, it's just.
You know your levels.
Yes, I know my levels. In fact, I've done that for a Portland State game before.
Did you do that at BYU?
Yeah, because Kalani, my teammate.
He might deny you.
Nah,
Kalani. He might deny you.
Kalani would hook me up.
And then you'd be like, oh, you'd be like Lil Wayne or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what, that would be a kick in the balls. Because I did it at Oregon State when
he was
the defensive coordinator.
Well, they know you talk S about him here on your radio show in Portland.
Well, sure. But Kalani knew that.
Well,
and
sure.
He still let me on the sidelines for Oregon State. I've been down there a time or two.
All right. Hey, we got a poll question. AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. It is at 1080thefan.com. Log on, vote. We ask that you vote hard. What do you put the most faith in this weekend? Okay, this is Pac-12 poll question, okay?
Okay.
Oregon State has a coming out party at USC.
Okay.
Oregon bludgeons Arizona. Washington State gets throttled by Utah. Washington gets right against Cal. Or UCLA Stanford will be a mess. Log on and vote.
The one I'm most confident about?
What do you put the most faith in?
Yeah. Oregon throttles Arizona.
Bludgeons, was the
bludgeons.
Word there. Yeah. Throttle is Washington State. Two different words.
Yeah, they bludgeon.
Two different meanings.
Yeah, Arizona stinks. They're not good.
Okay, vote. Vote hard. 1080thefan.com. Could it be Oregon State's weekend? We'll get to that. And NFL playoff format change. Talk about that coming up as well. But right now, it's Patrick with SportsCenter.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, someone said, hey, don't Don't trust Utah. They can't throttle anybody, which is true. Right now, they look a little messy. But don't underestimate Washington State's ability to get throttled by anyone.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Right? Well, and we got a Coug fan over there in Patrick.
Coug alumni.
Wait, you're not a fan?
No, I am a fan, but I think it's just important in
not just a fan.
To be someone who grew up in a region that has more fans of a team than alumni of a team, if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
I like to make sure people know I am an alum and not just a fan.
And they're back to and part of it is because of injury, but they're back to those at Guantanamo or what is the Tennessee transfer?
Yeah, no one can say his name. I don't know how to either.
It's that guy.
Guantarino.
Guantarino.
He's their quarterback now?
Yeah.
If he's healthy. Because third string was playing last week.
Yeah, they've gone through quite a few. So he was the guy at the start of the year. And then like a quarter in, they went to Deloria. And then Deloria got hurt. And then they've gone between the Tennessee transfer and then the third string guy. And now
didn't
I guess
Deloria have some trouble too?
He got a DUI. And then he fell out of favor, but like he was supposed to be the guy. Like he had a lot of hype around him when he came in and showed some flashes. But look,
he is the guy. Rolovich is just not the guy.
Yeah.
That's universal amongst all the Cougs that I know.
It's pretty bad.
They're
right
all
now.
Just like, oh my God, Rolovich is over his head.
The big thing is like Mike Leach is okay. He's kind of funky. You know, he's weird, but he was really good. And so it was like when he left, you're like, okay, we might not get somebody as good as Leach, but can we get an adult in the building? Yeah. Is all we wanted. And Rolovich showed up, and we were like, cool, an adult. And then it went, oh. Yep.
But I thought Rolovich was a good hire.
Yes, he was. But, I mean, last year they only had, four games because of COVID. And they went 1-3. So, you know, you go 1-3, and then this year hasn't looked pretty. You're 1-2, and your one win was against Portland State. You get throttled, you gave up 45 in a row to USC and their third-string quarterback.
Led 90% of the game against Utah State and then blew that.
Yeah. I still can't figure out how they lost that one. And now you throw this the COVID crap on top of it and the fact that they're not recruiting well. Look, if you're talking about programs in trouble right now in the Pac-12, it's Arizona and it's Washington State. Flip a coin. Which one's worse? And I'd probably say Washington State because at least out in Arizona, they're giving the fish down there at least some leeway, whereas Washington State, you've got a fan base almost universally that has turned on their coach. So it's not good.
Could I make the case that it's harder to rebuild a program after Mike Leach than any other coach?
No, I think...
Could I make that case? And is that fair? Because I feel like Texas Tech wallowed.
Yeah.
After he's just so unique and has a unique system and unique set of players.
And yet wins.
Of course he wins, but if you don't run that, which most people don't, right?
Yeah.
There are very few fits. There are fewer fits.
Yes.
When you put your stuff in, right? So yep. I feel like it's hard, especially culture wise, because Leach is a weirdo.
You have to change both.
I think you got to change way more when you follow Leach than you would when you follow someone else. And I think that I'm not making excuses for Rolovich, but I do feel like that's harder than your average takeover.
It is true because you do have to change an entire system. Because everyone always says that, you know, oh, Rolovich runs the run and shoot and Leach runs the air raid. They're different. They're very, very different.
Leach is pretty unique.
That's more of the, you know, and there are a handful of teams that do run the true air raid, but very few that adopt it the way Mike Leach has. And then you talk about trying to change the culture to go along with that. Yeah, that's a tough challenge. Oh, and by the way, you're at a place in Pullman where it's not like the talent level is through the roof. So
yeah,
it's tough.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough job.
So who was down the furthest? Okay. You've got Oregon State at its down years.
Yeah.
Which have been recent, although not, I would say a lot of people, I've been listening to The Fan. You listen to The Fan?
I do listen to The
Fan. Sports radio.
Yes, I do.
I love The Fan. And when I listen to The Fan, I have heard no less than 3 or 4 personalities on The Fan state that they believe Oregon State is going to win outright against USC.
Brandon Sprague, Jason Swigard, AJ McCord. I heard all three of them today said they're taking it. Maybe Dirt as well.
Dave Bartu, I think, is on. I don't know about to win, but I think Dave Bartu likes them. Because I've been mad at the Beavs, you know, because of the Purdue non-cover.
Yes.
The late touchdown they gave up to Purdue.
I think Brandon and AJ both said win outright.
Yeah. I know AJ did because I heard that driving in. And so
I don't understand why, but all right.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, see, this is kind of what I'm getting at here.
Brandon's alum, though. That's a little hard.
Yeah, he's a homer. Sure. Is Oregon State, are they there? I mean, because a lot of people seem to think that they're right there, and this is their coming out party, right? Because, you know, these coaches, they have signature. These are big games, like games like this. This USC game is a prime example of a game where if Oregon State wins this game, it's like, okay, maybe the Beavs are back with Jonathan Smith.
And
right?
I hate this narrative because I'll give you this. Under Gary Anderson, they beat Oregon, and they were supposed to be back.
And then they were, well, yeah, that's right. And then the next year we were like, oh my God, Oregon State, watch out. And then Gary Bear did Gary things.
Yeah, and then they beat Oregon in the Civil War.
Go Beavers, how about that?
Well, that's what I mean.
Just this last year. They knocked them off.
But this year they look pretty good.
They look all right, but they still lost to Purdue, and then their wins were over Hawaii and Idaho. So
how's Purdue doing? Didn't they play Notre Dame tough?
Yeah, they did. Purdue's okay. I think Purdue is...
God, I still think Oregon State should have won that.
Yeah, Purdue beat Oregon State, and then they throttled the UConn 49-0, and then they lost to Notre Dame 27-13. Look, I'm not saying that I like Oregon State, and I think Jonathan Smith is the right guy, and I think he's trending in the right direction. I'm not in denial that you could find a way to beat USC, but this idea that you could look at anything Oregon State's done and say that you think they're going to beat USC, there's nothing schematically that leads you to believe that they can beat USC. Doesn't mean you can't have a hunch. Doesn't mean you can't think that they're due for one, but they don't beat USC down at USC. And the talent gap in this game
twice ever
is, yeah, it's astronomical. I mean, it's just, it's enormous. And you saw USC has huge talent. Yeah. They fell behind 14-0 to Washington State. And then they rolled off 45 in a row. They have a top five pick playing outside linebacker, defensive end for them. They have at least two receivers that are going to be high first, if not, you know, one or second round draft picks. The running game and the O-line, eh. But from a talent standpoint, this gap is enormous. Now, you could say the USC's in trouble and there was the coaching change and all that, but there's nothing that you can look at on paper and say Oregon State does XYZ that USC doesn't have an advantage to, or say that Oregon State is better at this position than USC. So if you think Oregon State's going to win, that's fine, but it's a hunch. It's not based on anything. It's not based on you watching film and Oregon State has a scheme. No.
So who's been down the farthest? I think I know the answer to this.
It's Oregon State.
Well, I don't know about that, because look at what Arizona's bringing to the table.
See, and this is where...
And look at what Washington State went through with the Paul Wolf years.
Well, you said who's been down the longest. The bottom line
No, I didn't
is,
say longest. I said who was down the furthest, the worst.
UW's the only team in Pac-12 history to go winless on
season. Okay, let's throw that in there, too.
But this is where I say, no, Washington was not down that far, because you could go 0-4 at Washington...
And be right back.
Locker was out that year. He got hurt right before the season.
What did they do the 2 years... Years after the Ofer season, because then you got into Steve.
I think they won seven games. Exactly. Lockers last year,
You went into Steve, and he bounced back with 7-win Steve.
0-12, 5-7, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6.
You had one horrific.
Peterson.
You had one horrific year, right? And then you had one, and then you had kind of an ugly year, and then you were back to middle of the road. And 3 years later, Chris Peterson comes in and you're back in contention for the Pac-12 title and you made a college football playoff. Sorry, that's not down.
I think it's Washington State.
Washington State had the bad run there, you know, after the 10-win seasons with Doba, and then you went through the Paul Wolf days and that was pretty ugly. I think you can make the case it's Washington State. Arizona has never been necessarily great, but again, under Rich Rod, they went to a Fiesta Bowl. They had a 10-win season.
I'm talking about right now, though.
This could be this start Arizona, of right, them that's being what I'm saying. The worst.
Yes. I'm saying, okay, when Oregon State was at its worst and Washington State was at its worst, and as Patrick said, when Washington was at its worst, Arizona, are they at that level right now? And who was the worst when it was their worst?
I don't believe it's Arizona. I think, and if you want to go all the way back, I think it was probably still Buddy Tevens in the Walt Harris days at Stanford. That would probably be my vote. If you want to go back, that I was allergic to that football. I do think if we're going to go say just for a brief moment, I think the Washington State days were worse than the Oregon State days.
So Washington State 2-11, 1-11, 2-10.
I remember going to see an Apple Cup during those years with Washington State and standing on the sidelines and looking at their players and saying, this is in no way a Pac-12 roster. Up front, it was embarrassingly bad. And Oregon State had some trouble. I just say, as down as it could be, I think I give a slight nod to Washington State as far as an overall talent level. Because even though the Bees were pretty bad, I still feel like there were some players mixed in there. Some of those Washington State teams were just void of much of anything.
All right. Well, that gives us context on what Oregon's dealing with this Arizona team, because they seem way down.
Yes.
And I mean way down. Like, Jed Fish has a major rebuild going on.
They're not good.
But they're not as bad as when Oregon State and Washington State were way down.
I don't believe that is the case.
Okay.
But, you know, Sumlin was a horrific hire because he won four or five games. The COVID year, they won nothing. He went over. And I've seen Arizona play twice in the first three games. It's a bad football team, and they're having to flip-flop quarterbacks. It's bad. You know when a team isn't competitive, and Washington State, Oregon State, and Arizona are all, and then I go back to the Walt Tevens, Buddy Harris days. Those are teams that not only aren't competitive, but they're not going to be competitive for a couple years. Whereas I felt like that Washington team, as bad as it was, I felt like there was the ability to bounce back. And, you know, man, Oregon State, Washington State took a couple years to dig out. It's going to take a couple years for Arizona to dig out. I believe that.
Arizona under Sumlin, 5-7, 4-8, 0-5.
Yeah.
And now Fish has inherited this mess.
And remember, there is some people that if you listen to them, that are close to that program, that believe that Sumlin was really, really close to getting the Oregon job.
Yeah, well, he didn't.
No, so. Thank heavens. Because that guy, you want to talk about a guy that had a fall from grace? Look at Kevin Sumlin.
All he did really was Johnny Manziel, and he beat Alabama that one time. Yep. That was it.
And he rode that. Well, and he was good at Houston, and that's how he got the A&M job.
Is he on the sideline?
I don't think Sumlin's anywhere.
Well, anyway, Oregon State, USC, coming out party? Not so fast, says Big Sook. I don't know. I don't trust Oregon State until they start proving it. And USC, like you said, they have a lot of talent. There was a good article in The Athletic about what killed USC. Did you read that at all today?
I didn't.
Yeah, it's a good read. It's worth a read. We'll get to a few of those items coming up here. But they talked to a lot of people, coaches, ex-coaches, administrators, people around USC, and they kind of pieced together what they think went wrong, where it went wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting. It was obviously a myriad of things. It's never just one thing. But some of the things that these people were quoted as saying was interesting, but USC is still USC, big time talent. And maybe without Clay Helton, they're, you know, they'll actually be better. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
But like, I don't trust Oregon State. The one thing I do trust in this game, there's only one thing I know about this game, USC, Oregon State. Mm-hmm. And that is that USC will start slow.
that is what they do.
Guaranteed.
Well, and then their quarterback that led this, you know, resurgence in the second half against Washington State, he just had knee surgery. So, you know, you're back to Slovis, and, you know, we'll see what happens here. But USC has dudes. Like, whether you're talking about London or, you know, you look at some of their receivers they have, they've got dudes. It is not a talent level, which is why if you want to say what's the most disappointing fall from grace, it's probably USC. Because USC isn't at the bottom level of any of these schools we're talking about. But most of these programs that fell hard, it was because recruiting and lack of player development, and you just didn't have the horses. The part that's frustrating about USC is every time you take the field in the Pac-12, with the exception of Oregon or Washington, maybe, you have a giant talent advantage, and USC still manages to let it run down their leg time and time again.
By the way, before we bury someone who is not working right now, mm-hmm. His record is 95-63 as a head coach, and that includes Arizona. He was excellent at Houston.
Well, that's what I see, you know, but
35-17. But his record at Texas A&M is better than you think. He went 51-26 mm-hmm. and won three bowl games. So, I mean, he, again, at Texas A&M, they're kind of like Nebraska, 8-9 wins, although he won 11 wins 1 year.
Yeah.
It's just not enough. But he was pretty good there. But he just wasn't good enough.
But remember, towards the end there, he was getting blasted in the big games, a la Nebraska and Bo Pelini, and he was losing players. Remember, that was the Kyler Murray transfer, and you had all these great recruits that were coming in there, and that he was losing the team, and then he went to Arizona and just, you know, he fell straight on his head.
All right, we got to go. NFL playoff format change and what killed USC. Those items are next up on The Fan.
Seahawks football is off. This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
I think this is all right. I'm down with it. Curious to know if you are. The NFL announced that Wildcard Weekend will actually conclude this season, beginning with this season. It will conclude with a Monday night game.
Yes.
Monday night playoff game.
I have no issue with that. I love the Saturday playoff games.
Yeah, so what they're going to do now is they're going to do two Saturday games. Mm-hmm. Again, this is Wild Card Weekend.
Yes.
Three games on Sunday, and then one of the games will be on Monday, which I think is rad.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is, you know, the next week you got the short week, but, you know, it's one day. I don't think that's necessarily a huge deal. Teams are used to it. They play on Monday nights.
But you also get an extra day to prepare for your opponent that week.
Exactly. So I'm all for it, man. Just Wild Card Weekend is fantastic. So give me Monday Night Football. I'm 100% on board with it.
Yeah, all right. When we come back, I'll tell you what was in that Athletic piece on USC. It was kind of interesting. What killed USC?
I got a good idea. I'll be interested.
Not that USC's dead.
No, but you know, we love to kick sand on USC, but of the programs we were talking about that have really been down from Oregon State to Washington State, Arizona, Colorado should be thrown into that mix. When McIntyre took over? That was ugly. USC's never had that. Even the Washington Ofer, you know, days, which led to 2 years of futility. USC, what's a bad year at USC?
Is Clay Helton bad to you?
No, he's just not USC.
Because, I mean, they're treating it like USC's a mess, and he went 8-5 and 5-1 the last two seasons.
Yeah, but look, if we're going to go back to the, because we can admit Pete Carroll was undeniably fantastic. This is USC since Pete Carroll. 8-5, 10-2, 7-6, 10-4, 9-4, 8-6, 10-3, 11-3, 5-7, 8-5, 5-1.
Right.
Dude, if that's down, then 98% of the teams in college football would love to be USC down.
But we all know USC isn't what USC was under Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And this article was about why that is. And it's got some interesting nuggets in there.
Just waiting for when Nick Saban leaves and Alabama only wins one national title in a decade. And then we're like, hey, what's wrong with Alabama?
If they call me, I'm not taking that job.
Yeah. Well, you would if they gave you $9 million.
Ooh, that was a big putt there. USA, 5.5. Europe, 1.5.
Ha ha.
But Tyrell Hatton? He just made a big putt to get a half point for the Europe team there. And there's one match left out there. They got two holes to play and they're tied. And that's JT and Cantlay against,
I don't know who they're going to.
Fleetwood
against.
And Hovland, I think.
Okay.
So, but still, U.S. looking pretty, even if they lose that match, 5.5, 2.5 after day one. Yeah.
Let's go. Big day to lead things off for the Americans.
All right. We will be back with hot USC talk on The Fan.
If you're an umpire,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.